bigger problem. It's a uniform rule problem, I think.
Yeah, that's a ledge council problem too.
So,
What's your motion?
Well, to look at this paragraph here, there's a sentence that says, the part I want to get rid of is, or where the nature of the relationship, from there to the end of the sentence, that's about the sixth line down. Or where the nature of the relationship, if known, would create the mind of objective, blah, 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 blah. In that one there. So the sentence is only says now, close relationships which raise potential conflicts may be unavoidable, but legislators and legislative employees must ensure they take no official actions under circumstances where the personal relationship actually impedes the ability to make an independent, objective judgment on the merits. You can get rid of the word actually.
Yeah, on the merits, period.
Period.
Take care of, you delete.
Always the end of the sentence. And then you still have a optional disclosure at the end.
The last sentence, you want the last sentence?
It might create the appearance of impropriety.
All right, so, but the way he's got it now is the first two sentences on page 28 of 280 would go, and then with the Representative Finkelstein amendment, that sentence would go, the first sentence would go down to the word merit, and then the last sentence that he's got would go.
Right.
And that would be new.
When you say go, you mean stay, right?
Stay.
Stay, yeah. And that would be new 280.
Right.
Yes.
Here we go then. From 280, the existing language, the first two full sentences would stay, ending in trust. Then the rest of that would be deleted and replaced with the new language of Josephson minus the clause beginning halfway down there, or where the nature through treatment, and pick up again with the rest of his sentence there. Is further discussion all that? Is there any objection to that, Senator Jones?
This one's, however this makes them no less damaging to public trust remains in.
Right.
Those are the conflicts, or the the appearance of those
personal. Well, Lord. Is it the relationships or is it the conflict?
Yeah.
There's a question about the word usher. Should it be insure? Line 3 of the Josephson language.
Insure, I think, would be the problem.
Insure, ensure.
Insure, E-N. We'll call that a typo.
The them is referring to the personal relationship conflicts. The them in the second sentence is a modifier to the personal relationship conflicts in the sentence above.
We could say these conflicts, however this makes these conflicts
right.
No less
right.
Damaging.
Right, exactly.
That's,
I would make that motion.
That's a distinct difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would delete them on line 7 of the 280 language and insert these conflicts.
Okay. Now, was there any objection then to the adoption of the rest of that motion? If not, we'll adopt the amended Josephson amendment.
As amended.
As amended.
Well, Mr. Kennedy, I'm clear on that. From trust on in 280, make sure
correct. And then replaced with the new Josephson as amended. Okay. John, before we leave this, were there other problems that, other than full-scale deletion, that the Josephson amendments did not address?
You mean other amendments?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, no, the Rieger amendment would have deleted it farther up. It would have deleted it after everything after the first sentence. In the ACLU, you would have deleted the whole thing.
Okay, and now the Hope amendments. Was that what Josephson was trying to address? So a lot of that was centered on disclosure. We are no longer dealing with any kind of mandatory disclosure. Okay.
They want it.
290.
Okay, 290, there's a number of proposed changes. 290, by the way, is pretty much the existing language of the ethics bill now.
And they want to change it.
It's hard fought, Ben, it's still hard fought.
Yeah, we had it.
Representative Hanley has a proposal to expand the prohibition to a spouse, a dependent, or a person with whom the legislator, with whom a legislator have a, has a close personal relationship.
Oh, God, we fought this a hundred times.
Well.
Mr. Chairman, to me, we have enough problems. And if this is close to existing language, then I suggest we delete existing language and leave it. And just say, guys, this is existing language, we didn't mess with it, and go and forget it.
I think you're right, but if there's any, I've always, I agree with the comments made by Joan here on, I've never understood why the immediate family can work for their house during a session, but not during the interim. Because during the session, when most of the conflicts are going on, you know.
I think nepotism, though, is not dealing with substantive legislative conflicts.
But even still, why?
I'll give you the rationale, I'll tell you the rationale, because it went in 1983. The rationale is to keep families together. If you can't get, some people can come down here if their spouse can work. And if you're gonna work part-time, the place to work to help meet expenses is the legislature. So in order to encourage mothers or families, mainly wives, to come down here with their husbands, then it was felt that we should stretch this and allow jobs in the other body for that family member, so that the whole family could come down during the legislative session, and that's what the deal is.
The session exemption is indeed that, it's the exemption from the general rule against nepotism.
Right, exactly.
The interim is the normal way that you would.
And I guess I believe that the, if you have it in a separate body, then it isn't the same case of nepotism. We're avoiding nepotism, saying you cannot, neither you nor anyone else who's a member of your house can employ a family member. That's what I think the rule should be.
Well, but that's, and that's what everybody agrees with you, that's the agreement. But then the only exception is during the session, because the majority of people are away from home. That's the history, and that's how it developed.
Right, no, but I'm saying, I think it should just apply to your house year-round, that neither you nor anyone in your house can employ anyone in your family year-round. What the other house does year-round is a different issue.
But it's not always, that's the problem. Just like, frankly, it's not during the session, I mean, there are swaps and agreements.
Yeah, there are a lot, there are problems.
And there are problems, and frankly, they're nepotism. It is a nepotism problem, but we've said, because of the unique situation, we're going to allow some level of nepotism.
And this is a problem, we recognize.
It is a problem.
Does anyone agree with me that we should extend it year-round? Did you guys agree with me?
No.
Okay, well, I'll drop it.
Okay, I think that was Jim Hope's amendment, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And Representative Donnelly has an amendment to extend the, make the nepotism provision, one, to make it not applicable to grandparents or grandchildren, and two, to make it applicable to the whole legislature year-round. In other words, get rid of the other house provision in session, which you just talked about.
I think the grandparents aren't covered, if it's immediate family, I can't imagine.
Your definition of immediate family.
Yeah, I think immediate family.
Immediate family is defined as grandparents and.
It's not my immediate family.
Well, I think that's good.
I think that's within the, that's within the definition.
Oh, she changed the definition, geez. Your grandparents, your immediate family?
No problem.
Neither they are, but they're here. They're not speaking to yours?
No, they're not my immediate family, they're distant relatives. There's a big difference between your immediate family and distant relatives.
Seems to me you're sort of dealing with a non-existent problem here.
Yeah, I think that's what.
But I had one further comment that was mine on the exemption, strictly on the language. An exemption may be sought from the commission, and somebody before referred me to the other section. Just giving them may be sought from the commission, my question was, can the commission grant an exemption under this section.
Why not?
Let's give them the authority.
That's what I mean. Do they have the authority to, telling someone they can seek it isn't the same thing as telling the commission they can grant an exemption.
Yeah.
Now, but somebody yesterday said, pointed out, there was an exemption section, which I had missed.
Gives criteria for allowing exemption.
In extraordinary circumstances.
I would just say from the drafting, this should be, an exemption may be granted by the commission, or.
Maybe sought and granted.
Granted.
Maybe sought and granted from the.
Or sought from and granted by.
Line two, page 29.
But I.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Any objection, if not so adopted?
Maybe granted.
How about instead of sought and granted, just put may be obtained?
But you have, the commission has to have permission to give it to them.
Give it. It's not good enough just to ask.
And, but you add.
No, however the English should be, we didn't get the, it's conceptual amendment.
Yeah, let's.
We want the commission to have the authority to grant it if it's been sought and the commission thinks it makes sense. We're afraid there's a loophole here, and you could go to doomsday to ask them, but they won't have the authority to grant it.
Or, well, this is, it's all verbiage, but you could say may be obtained from the commission, subject to their approval or something like that.
Yeah, or referencing the exemption section.
So it's sought from and granted by in there, I think that does the.
Sought from, granted by. Okay, but we'll, some of these, I think we're gonna have to leave to some legal drafting and internal.
And granted by in there.
Okay.
Okay, that's it for nepotism. 300, there's a fair number under 300. Putting in a bunch of biggies. Let's see, Senator Fahrenkamp, page 29, line 10. After committee, delete. Okay, after committee, delete. Everything after committee, so it would read, a registered lobbyist may not serve as a campaign manager or director, serve as a campaign treasurer or deputy campaign treasurer on a finance or fundraising committee, period. Delete everything else.
That flies in the face of what we did in state affairs, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the only question that's raised, of course, there is this engage actively and what that means in fundraising activity.
Well, you can't use bagman.
Right, that's what we're talking about. John, did you or anybody happen to be able to go back to the restrictions in our campaign finance bill to see if those were better or more explicit than these?
I didn't. I don't know if anybody else did.
Well, I didn't.
What's the number of that?
384.
384.
384? I'll go get us some copies.
Would you bring?
No, it's a.
No, no. Would you bring me half a dozen copies of Senate Bill 384? Sure.
Okay. The ACLU also proposes deleting this whole section. Reason, the attempt not only to disclose but regulate the personal, social, political, and romantic relationships of legislators, employees, and lobbyists goes far beyond the legitimate realm of regulation to reach deep into the private lives of politically active citizens. These sections are vague and overbroad but violate privacy and free association rights. It's also susceptible to oppressive use. It should be stressed that lobbyists are also subject to the same disclosure. Virtually anyone who is politically active would come under severe scrutiny by the LEC. This section could put the LEC in a position even more powerful than the House Un-American Activities Committee. This potential for abuse vastly outweighs any possible gain. Also, the prohibitions against lobbyists and organizing fundraising events directly violates First Amendment and voting rights. Such a system could have easily been used to keep civil rights candidates from election in the South by defining the most politically active as lobbyists and then prohibiting them from helping to organize and fund campaigns.
Okay, a couple thoughts I have on that. One is, before some of these sections, we talked about by referencing APOC statutes about registered lobbyists, and we may wanna reference some of those things again, that we're not talking about volunteer lobbyists, we're not talking about representational lobbyists, we're talking about, as we've been calling, walking around in the hall lobbyists. The second thing is, part of that, I think, is addressed if we delete the close personal relationship from this, which there's sentiment to do. But beyond that, I think we're talking about things we've been talking about for a number of months now, as far as limiting registered walking around the hall lobbyists from being bagged on campaigns.
Josephson proposes deleting the close economic association disclosure requirement on line 18.
So that section B, you're saying?
Yeah.
Let's eliminate B then.
What? That's what we do now, don't we?
Yeah.
That's current ethics stuff.
Well, no,
we do it to the journal, for heaven's sakes. This is incompetence to the commission.
Well, somewhat, we do a close economic association among, it isn't just limited to lobbyists, though.
Right.
This is centered on lobbyists, this one.
This is probably narrower than current law.
Right, I do agree we need to continue current law on disclosing close economic associations.
Well.
How about if we just, I propose to just remove close personal relationship from this, and then it would be like existing law. Because no, this gets back to the mandatory reporting of personal relationship.
Yeah. Oh. I would just talk about how for a close personal relationship.
Okay, this is on page 4 of this, section 6. New section. Here's another approach. When we were talking about other campaign law things, the first question is, are we regulating legislators here, their ethics, or are we talking about lobbyist regulation? If this is lobbyist regulation, there's a case to be made it should be in the campaign finance laws, like this new section here, campaign by lobbyists.
I think we should stick it to legislators, keep it. Legislators, lobbyists there, restricting legislators' association with lobbyists in the ethics bill.
Right.
And then regulate your lobbyists in the campaign bill.
I agree with that, but what that means, of course, is, for example, I think it would mean that A should be more like section 6 in this bill, and then B is for us here in this bill.
Well, I agree with David that if we deleted close personal relationships in order, I mean, if it's a close economic association, then that's maybe should be disclosed with it. This sort of gets into that whole issue where if you start dating someone, are you supposed to report that or whatever? You know?
Yeah,
I agree.
You made that motion. Okay, so B is okay.
I agree.
Just taking out the words or
right.
Close personal.
Exactly. Okay.
So it's moved to in line 18, page 29, delete or a close personal relationship. Any objection to that? If not, while we're on B, I don't understand the rationale on the 45 days after the formation of a new relationship. It seems like in a session that's real important. I would at least say 30 days. Was there any explanation of why it was 45 days here?
No.
It's not a big deal. It doesn't take very long, and it seems like you ought to disclose it fairly quickly.
Okay, good. We'll change it to 30.
I'm sorry. Can you make that motion?
So
it's okay. On line 20.
That was give it a chance for a personal relationship to grow, I think.
You want to make sure it's really going to last, you know?
The motion would be to change 45 days to 30 days.
Oh, so it might be over in a month. Maybe it's to get it back to get over with.
Yeah, come and go.
Right.
Is there any objection? If not, then we'll change 45 days to 30 days. John, did you get that?
Yeah. I may rewrite those sentences since you now got the same days, and I may try to combine them into one sentence.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah, as a matter of fact, if you could do some conforming, like, if the relationship did not exist, maybe we should say, if the association.
Yeah, right.
In fact, that may be the reason for the 45 days, because it may have been related more to a relationship than a close economic association. Was there a motion on change of relationship to association?
I think, I'll make the motion, but I think it occurs in other spots too.
You got to do it at the end of the sentence also.
Okay.
But he's going to rewrite the whole thing, so.
Okay, so let's just authorize John to make conforming amendments.
Yeah, I'll rework it, because I see in C it says relationship now, and that could probably be changed to
D.
Okay, so if we could return to A for a moment here. This is regulating lobbyists. It really does not directly affect legislative action. When we have discussed this same topic, we've developed this in this bill, 384, a whole section dealing with this. And I guess it's just a policy choice whether or not we want to leave lobbying regulation just as a point of statute in campaign law, or pull it out and try to rework it here.
Sure, I suggest we leave it in campaign. I would move that we remove it from this bill.
I have a friendly amendment to that amendment.
Senator Fix.
If the maker would consider it friendly.
Go ahead.
All right, what I'd like to see is A, rewritten so that the subject is not the registered lobbyist, but the subject is the legislator or the legislative employee, so that a legislator may not accept funds or utilize funds, receive funds from a registered lobbyist. The legislator may not have a registered lobbyist serve as a campaign treasurer. A legislator may not have a lobbyist directly solicit or collect or, you know, that kind of thing. Change the burden so that it's on the legislator, but you get in all these salient points. And you still leave this in 384, but I'm worried about the fate of 384, quite frankly.
Can I volunteer to do that?
Oh, I'd love that. Yes, sir.
Okay. Why don't I just take that? I think I understand what you're doing. We've got some language.
So it's all legislators.
Anybody have any objection
to that? Bringing
back?
That's fine, but I'd just like to make a suggestion that I think it might be worth moving this. Since we're now into the campaign financing area, moving it to if you're going to keep something here, move it into the area of 200 to 240, which is the area we're grouping the things that APOC is going to administer. Though I missed whether we decided that today, but I guess I have a question. When you reach the end of the campaign financing sections, did you make a decision on what APOC administered?
Yes, I directed Brooke to review all of that and make a recommendation as to how to separate.
Well, all I'm saying is I think this section A, however you revise it, should end up in that group of activities, because it's an area that APOC's in charge of deputy treasurer and all those things.
Good point.
And so we should add to that area.
Good point. Could you make note of that too, Brooke? Yeah.
And you're going to rewrite A so that the legislature, it's the subject of the paragraph is the legislature.
I'll withdraw my amendment.
Are we still on 300 now or 3?
Yeah, motion.
We're 300 at
your first. Go
so now, now, the, now if a registered lobbyist wants to be a bank, then he has to go work for your opponent.
Right.
The non-government official opponent.
The guy that's running for office, sure. When it's in office.
They're okay. They're all right, they can do anything.
Well,
Senator Pusha, when you're reworking A, Josephson has two proposed amendments. I don't know if you want to stick them in there or not.
Let me take a look at
them. Mr. Chairman, I misunderstood what we're doing, I guess, just from the comments being said. I don't think that the restriction on bagmen should be just limited to incumbents, I like the way it's written here, where it says they can't otherwise engage in actively the fundraising activity of legislative campaign. I think it should be as broad as that, so I don't think you should rewrite this to just stick it to legislators.
He's got the lobbyist restrictions here, though.
Well, I guess I'm saying I like the way A is done, which just keeps lobbyists out of legislative campaigns.
I agree.
No, but he can do that, but the subject, instead of being a lobbyist, will be the legislator may not accept from a lobbyist, or a candidate may not accept.
There you go.
See, you're just reversing.
Right.
Right here, this is talking
about. Well, I understand what you're saying. If you say candidate, but we weren't saying candidate before.
Purely English. It's grammatical. It's not, it's syntax. It's who, it's your shifting. So that you're conforming.
We weren't saying candidate before.
Well, he wasn't saying candidate before, so that's why.
No. That had been brought up. As we were changing this.
But it does say candidate here, and so it would, it should conform and be candidate.
Good point.
So they can't be bagmans for your opponents, Senator.
No. And representative.
And we have no place to go then.
Okay. How are people doing for time? 9:15.
Yeah, we were going to get done at 9, right? So we could do.
We weren't expected to see you.
We
were delighted.
Yeah,
to see
no, keep going as long as you want. If we want to leave, we'll leave.
15 more minutes at least.
No, let them go until 10.
Well,
no, it's, I'd like to do something. We got like a long calendar.
I need a little
time. You go to 10?
Regroup here.
What do you mean you read stuff before?
Let's go to 9:30.
That's a radical proposition. You could just read the beginning of the session.
Okay, subsection C, Representative Rieger has a proposal, line 28 to line 2, the next page, to delete. And a brief narrative of the matters the legislator or legislative employee is working on or reasonably might work on in the future that could create an actual conflict of interest. Reason unenforced? No. It is unreasonable to ask a person to self-incriminate through conjecture. Subsection C, line 28, starting, and a brief narrative.
Well, again,
the sentence.
I have the same comment. The assumption is that a conflict of interest is illegal and barred, and that is not the foundation that we've been dealing with. I think that's a mistaken notion. I think the conflict of interest is just something that you disclose or that you try to avoid.
This, you know, this ties to, if you're rewriting it off of your other one, this is just directly tied to B. Right?
Right.
So I'm not sure, you may be rewriting this anyway, the C part of it. It just says you'll disclose what you...
Yeah, and I think what Representative Rieger is concerned about is the future. How can you predict the future? And
that's,
I think what we should do is say the written you disclose it, you give a nature of the relationship, a brief narrative, what you're working on, and that's it, and we don't try to speculate future.
Fine.
Because if there's a future relationship, you got to disclose that when it happens.
And if it's relevant, the commission will probably say, yeah, you haven't said you're going to do anything now, but
right.
Do you reasonably expect to do X in the future? And then they'd say yes or no.
I would put a period on line 29, page 29, I think, let's see.
Yeah,
after the word on.
Yeah.
And
now,
then delete.
You know, since I'm a detailed guy, that's a dangling part symbol.
Yes.
I don't, but John or someone can rework that sentence.
Matters on the which.
Matters on the which. Matters
well,
on
I
which.
Think, too, you just want the narrative to contain matters on which the person's working that might create a conflict. You don't want an aide to have to list 100 matters that
pick up.
Right.
Which
I would just,
if you just delete or reasonably might work on in the future,
right.
I think
all
you've
right.
got
that's
it.
That's a better way of doing it.
Got it.
I would delete on line 1, page 30, reasonably might work on in the future. And then you don't have your dangling worried.
Right. Good. Any objection to the adoption of that amendment? Not so adopted.
And then I don't think Representative Rieger is going to have any more trouble with that.
Okay. Representative Rieger, subsection D. delete number nine, or excuse me, delete line nine, which is subsection two, where it says, order some restriction in the activities. Reason activities is not defined, even if it were, the power of the commission to, quote, restrict is too broad.
I'll move that.
Oh, in the conflict. I think the commission should have the ability, the flexibility to order restrictions, not just ban or say yes or no. I think there has to be an in-between, and I think that's what this is. So the word here is activities. We want to change activities to... the nature of the work or the... see, you understand what I'm saying?
Right, and I don't think it should be within the power of this commission to order restrictions in any activity.
Here's the problem. Here's the real life problem. Somebody whose wife or a spouse is a lobbyist. They disclose this or submit it. And then the commission shall make a determination. Of course, we wouldn't have relationship, I guess. Now we'd have the association creates a conflict that requires restrictions. And then the concern that's been expressed to me several times by members is, can the commission, under these words, restriction, we may be thinking of, well, you should avoid introducing legislation that your spouse is involved with. They are worried about they could restrict them from being married, from being a lobbyist in that relationship.
Well, I don't read it that way. I say they restrict the lobbyist from using the office equipment of the member. Or they restrict the lobby, or that's it, please don't lobby your spouse on legislation dealing with your clients.
That's how I would read it.
Yeah, and so I think instead of just deleting number two, it just needs to be rewritten so that our sentiments are more clearly defined.
Order some restriction in the legislative activities of the legislator or assistant.
I don't really think we need, I think there'd be some real problems, say, that a legislator can't do something, but maybe, how about something like order some guidance in the conflict or something to that?
So if you're talking about a conflict, you have a conflict here. The commission determines there's a conflict, but it's only a little conflict. And if there were a few little adjustments, it wouldn't be a conflict. Do we want to not allow them the ability to say, hey, if you do this, this, and this, the conflict will go away and you can continue your activity?
So order some guidance instead of saying, you, legislator, you cannot do this. I mean, it seems like there would be
what they're saying here. What they want to try to avoid that. What they're trying to do is work it out so that they're not telling you that you don't have to stop them.
A restriction is still a restriction. I'm a little confused. I thought the Ethics Commission basically offers advice to the legislature. I didn't know that on their own they could order anything.
To employees, you bet.
Well, here we're talking about legislators. Can they order, say a legislator can't engage in an activity?
This is legislative
conflict. It determines a conflict.
Legislator, legislator, employees. Yes.
No, it's legislators or legislative employees.
Right.
Are we saying, so I don't, is there anywhere else in this bill we're saying that this commission can order a legislator not to engage in some activity?
Okay, now wait a second. Wait a minute. What does the Ethics Committee do?
It offers advice.
What happens if you don't follow that advice?
It offers advice to the legislature for penalties that can be given. It doesn't do anything on its own.
But when the Ethics Committee tells me that it's a conflict for me to do something, I quit it.
Right, but the sanctions...
Real fast.
But the sanctions are imposed by the legislature.
Yeah, the sanctions get kicked to the legislature, and we have to do something within 10 days.
Well, that's a good point. Ordering restrictions is different than saying, we think this is a violation. If you continue, we will press a complaint against you. They can press a complaint against you, and they might find you guilty and ask for a sanction. But that's not the same as ordering a restriction. That's going through a whole process. Something is wrong. They say it's wrong. They find you guilty of something wrong, and then they forward something for a sanction.
The current statute says recommend corrective action.
Okay.
Recommend
corrective action.
Corrective action. That's more positive.
How about recommend some restriction in the activities?
New York jurisdiction, corrective action.
That sounds much better.
It's more positive, it's a nicer word than restriction.
But some things wouldn't be, some things would be prospective, so they wouldn't be corrective, they would be prospective.
This isn't, this is restrictions in the activities, and I know what he means by this. He means they ought to have the flexibility to be able to tell you if you do this, this, and this, you're okay. Yeah, or just, or limit your behavior here, here, and here, and then you're okay.
Then you make the decision.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I think the key word, though, one of the key words is recommend versus order.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Statute says recommend, this says order.
That's right.
Okay, well, I mean, have no problems deleting order and moving recommend, but I think we need to restructure too to give them the flexibility, to give you the option.
Right. To recommend.
So what was that?
Statute.
What is the statute say again?
Reference it.
Well, this is actually, this is when the ethics committee finds probable cause of a violation but finds that it doesn't warrant a formal charge. It says recommend a corrective action. And if they find.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, I guess it just doesn't make sense. I'll move that we just change the word order to recommend it. It's just applying the logic to these particular activities here, which fit more appropriately to a restriction in the activity rather than a corrective action. It's just limitation. You could use the word limitation to recommend some limitation in the activities, but that's what we're talking about, limitations, restrictions, boundaries. We're not talking about corrective action. They didn't do something wrong and they're correcting it.
Mr. Go back to D, and the commission shall make a determination as to whether the relationship creates a conflict of interest that requires restrictions or disclosure. Now, you've already said it.
Well, maybe another word here is that might involve restrictions or disclosure.
That might need.
Or that might. Necessitate. I think they're talking about, in their view, should be avoided.
What are we asking the commission to do? Are we asking them just to say, that's bad, quit it? Or just to say, that's bad?
We're asking them just to say,
warrants maybe,
that it'd be okay if you did it this way.
Yeah. They're trying to give you guidance, which undoubtedly most people will take in directing your own actions.
That's right.
Right. And so maybe.
I think we've got it. I think. Yeah. I move that we change the word on requires to warrants a couple lines up there. And then on line 2, change the word order to recommend, or the subsection 2, the word order to recommend.
Discussion on that motion.
Mr. You should also change line 12 to order to something.
Problems here is that this section was originally conceived to apply to lobbyists. You now removed lobbyists as a subject of this section, so the whole conception of this section has changed. So a lot of this doesn't apply to lobbyists. This only applies to legislators and legislative employees.
Well, I don't think we ever wanted to apply to lobbyists.
I don't,
we
I don't think it did.
APOC to continue to regulate lobbyists.
Yeah.
And also the penalties, as you see, as it refers to Section A, Section F says, and other penalties authorized under AS 2445, regulation of lobbying. So
okay, here's a suggestion on getting this out. As I've been told by drafters over and over, when you use the word or, it means and or. What about if you do one, two activities, or order disclosure in the journal, and scratch four?
Fine. I'll make that part of my motion.
Then it's saying keep the matter confidential and or recommend the restriction and or order disclosure in the journal. Discussion on that? Go over one more time. Okay. Keep the matter confidential, recommend some restriction in the activities, or order disclosure in the journal of the appropriate body, period, and scratch four. What the drafters tell us over and over is or means and or. So it, you, doing a combination is inherent in the ability, in their ability.
Great.
Is the warrant change made?
We, all of these are in one motion now before us.
Including the warrants.
I would add to, if I could add to the motion, this relationship again is a conforming amendment on line five.
Right.
Is there any objection then to D, changes which includes changing requires to warrants, order to recommend, and the deletion of four?
What are you doing with relationship?
Association. Because we have scratched personal relationship, and that's the only term that refers to. Is there any objection to that expanded motion?
Well.
Representative Davis.
Yeah, I don't have an objection to it, I don't think, but it would seem that this restricted relationships back to this whole section that we would want to still have the commission have the ability to limit, not legislators perhaps, but limit what other people can do or not do. Right? So, can we have that phrased? So that can happen? What, so the commission can say to a lobbyist, you can't do this, period.
This is, we don't have lobbyists in here anymore.
We're letting the EPOC deal with the lobbyists.
We're doing legislators.
But just, we don't have any legislative employees either.
No, we do have legislative employees. See, he's rewriting A. So that instead of the lobbyist being the sentence, the legislator and the legislative employee is going to be the subject of the sentence.
Well, it seems like we
30A really, once if we conclude it, should not be even in 300. We should move it back, as David suggested, move that back into the campaigns.
Campaign portion of this bill.
Right.
200 to 240.
Right.
The concern is still out there. You still have the word activities there. Although I guess if they just recommend that you give up your marriage, that's the worst. They're not making you give up your marriage.
They're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
Right, we're okay.
I think once we have recommend, and somebody, they say, we don't want you to be married anymore, and the guy says, fine, nice talking to you. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And you're not going to take me to court on that. I mean, and they wouldn't.
Wouldn't it, though, if you just change the activities to legislative activities, isn't that what he's getting at?
No, it might be the economic associations.
Yeah, it could be the financial activities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be interested in seeing what this looks like when we get on.
Let's go on to the finish.
Okay. Were there any other concerns on that section, John? Because we still have E and F.
Well, I think
there's one more for F and D, and there's one for E, and that's it for the section.
Let's finish up then.
Okay, Representative Rieger, page 10, paragraph 3. Order
page
full.
10. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, page 30.
Line
10. After order, insert full or partial. So it would say order full or partial disclosure in the journal.
So moved, Chair.
Any objection? If not, so adopted.
And section E, Representative Rieger proposes in two places the phrase or another organization or firm that regularly engages in lobbying the legislator or state agencies, boards, or commissions. That's 16 to 18, 20 to 22. He proposes deleting that in both places. reason with the deletion, a lobbying firm still cannot employ a legislator. However, there are many firms and organizations which regularly employ lobbyists, but the lobbying is only incidental to the main line of work of the organization. Most major organizations in the state employ a lobbyist either directly or through a trade association. Precluding a legislator from working from these organizations makes it unduly difficult to find a place to earn outside income.
On with this, Chair. We're still banning people from getting money for lobbying or on behalf of lobbyists. So.
Okay, how far down does his amendment go then?
It would essentially, I guess with his amendment, this section would now read, a legislator or a legislative assistant may not provide personal services for compensation for or on behalf of a registered lobbyist or lobbying firm, nor may the legislature have or legislative assistant have a financial interest in a business that receives a substantial part of its income from lobbyists and lobbying firms.
No, I think you want, right. I think he'd want to get rid of that normally legislator or financial interest.
See, that's the part I wanted to, if we're going to approach that, that's the part I wanted to keep. Mm-hmm. I think that is important.
What too. Part? The normally legislator
right,
or financial
interest? Right.
Okay, well, I'll move just what the part we just proposed to move there. Or another organization or firm regularly engages lobbying legislatures, state agencies, boards, or commissions. All right.
Discussion on that,
which would be the Rieger Amendment.
Right, I'm just moving the Rieger Amendment. It occurs again at the very end of the paragraph,
right.
Too. It makes good sense.
Could you read the paragraph the way it would read again?
Yeah. A legislator.
I have it, but I just want to just.
A legislator or legislative assistant may not provide personal services for compensation for or on behalf of a registered lobbyist or lobbying firm. Nor may a legislator or a legislative assistant have a financial interest in a business that receives a substantial part of its income from lobbyists and lobbying firms.
Okay, my only problem with that is what's a lobbying firm? We don't have lobbyist firms. We don't have firms that are just set up to lobby. Maybe we did, but he went to jail.
A firm is
don't like lobbying firms, the term.
Or firms whose, we could define that.
How about, why can't we?
Maybe Brooke has a.
It may be helpful that under the lobbying law, we have two different kinds of registrations, the registration for an individual lobbyist and the registration for a business entity retained to lobby. Those are the lobbying firms, business entities retained to lobby.
Well, I like that.
I like that too.
By a registered lobbyist or a business firm retained to lobby. Representative Finkelstein, can I offer an amendment to your amendment? I would like to support the Representative Finkelstein's amendment, except deleting lobbying firm and inserting in both places on line 16 and in line 20 Brooke's phrase, which is, or
business entity retained to lobby.
Business entity retained to lobby.
further discussion on that amendment, which is, I would, I mean, this is a substantial amendment.
It is, it really is.
It's a substantial amendment, and, but let me say something before we adopt it. If we did it, and I'm a little bit nervous.
Me too.
But what I think is, if we do this, then when we have that other discussion about disclosures with substantial interest with people, these are the people, if you're gonna bar them, I sure wanna include these guys for who I disclose my money for. If I'm employed by a bank, and that bank employs lobbyists and has interest in legislation, that ought to be disclosed. If we're not gonna ban the guy from working in the bank, we sure wanna disclose his interest in it.
And banks are regulated by the state.
Right.
Highly regulated industry.
Yeah, although I think this may even go down farther than I think.
What about, say, I belong to the ABA, and the ABA regularly lobbies the legislature,
but by taking this amendment, it would allow me to continue to work in my firm,
right,
which is a family firm.
I think it clears up a lot of those ambiguities.
It clears up a lot of those. Those
it is
questionable.
A major amendment.
It's a major
I can support it, but I
sure. And I understand what you're
parts.
Saying.
We have to have the show second half.
Sure,
and
I agree with that.
Okay.
Further discussion. Is there any objection?
In fact, we can just insert the language that we're deleting in that other section we were talking about.
as a good example.
Yeah, as an A group.
If not, so adopted.
Let me just say one thing for the
second part.
I think we're going to have another discussion about the second part. Representative Davis.
Not on the amendment, but on the section. I think this addresses probably a lot of concerns by people, but also the idea of some of these firms that have large lobbying efforts that also employ people or can employ people that work for the legislature. And we haven't really addressed that. Okay. And this section would delete those people from being.
That's right.
And what you're saying.
The Alaska folks.
What you're saying is just disclosed.
At a minimum.
As a minimum. They need to make the full disclosure. That's got to be A income or whatever we decide to call that.
And I think really, I think around this table, we really have no problem with that. But at the same time, I think I would have a problem saying that, you know, person B or person A, you can't work for Alaska. Really, when you really look at it, there's not a lot of employment in the state that somehow doesn't employ some sort of lobbying effort in the state.
If they're big enough to hire you, they're big enough to hire a lobbyist and probably.
Actually, that's probably exactly true. Yeah, if they have the flexibility to pick you up in the interim, they're that kind of firm.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Otto, did you get your assignments now on your rewrites? Did you bring those with you?
I ate it on my way to where I was.
Pretty quick.
John, I think you had one. Did you have one final thing you said on E? I heard you mention E or F.
Oh,
D and
E, we're done.
D was it?
Wow. 300 amendments.
No, that's just the first 30 pages.
John, were you through with your list on
300? Yeah,
300. Did anybody, Lauren? Did you have another comment on 300?
There was a question about consistency from 300 on. We have a mention of legislators and legislative employees. Legislative employees on 17, legislative employees on 22, legislative employee on 29, and then we switch to an E on line 14 on page 30, legislative assistant.
Yeah.
Legislative assistant.
Yeah.
And maybe there should be consistency.
Let's add that to that list along with penalties. I'd like to look at all of that between employees and assistants, and I'm personally not. Employees, or as this is defined, don't strike me as real important. I think we may want to go back and look. That's a good point. Let's just add that to the list of going through the whole bill relative to assistance vis-a-vis employees. Anything further? At some point, and John, let me first start with some apologies. I know you're not feeling well. there's a terrible burden on you. At some point here, real soon, I think we're going to want to see some regrafting. I mean, see what we've done, what's open. And I guess my first question to you is, do you need help? Can we, do you want me to request additional help?
I don't think there's that much regrafting to be done at the moment.
Well, I guess we're talking about just where we are today, stuff from the past. So yeah, I don't think we've done.
I don't think there's that much.
Because it'd be helpful. Mike and I missed a few things, and it gives us a chance to look back and see what we missed.
If we could have the first 30 pages redone with, you know, questions or outstanding in the margins of the stuff that's not completed.
I'd suggest, Mr. Chairman, that if you run across any questions, just fake it, and we probably won't notice it. So
I don't suggest that.
Representative Finkelstein.
We didn't hear that.
I can tell you're a freshman.
We fake nothing.
Use your best judgment to address the issue.
Representative Finkelstein. No.
No.
Oh, we're never going to get that.
No.
Representative Finkelstein, this is an exercise with your patience.
Okay.
Practice in patience.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we are scheduled for 5:30. Let's hit it at 5:30. It'd be my intention to knock off a little early, 7:38 tonight.
You said 8 last night, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, I turned my own schedule. I'm ready till midnight.
Come on.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
You got it.
Jeez.